election. That'll be tomorrow afternoon, about 1, of course, with all things special breaking news programming. That may change. One thing that won't change is the fact that coming up next, it's a local edition. Stay tuned.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from Garnet Health Medical Center, Catskills. Garnet Health, going above and beyond to elevate care every day for every person. Learn more at garnethealth.org. Exceptional lives here. And from the Cooperage Project in Honesdale, dedicated to building community through performance, learning, markets, and good times. TheCooperageProject.org. And from listeners like you who donate at WJFFradio.org.
Good evening. It's the local edition, news and information that keeps you connected in the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania. I'm your host, Jason Dole. And my goodness, here we are at the end of June already. Tomorrow's June 28th. That happens to be primary day in New York State. One of them, anyway. So we've got coverage today of that. We're going to be talking about the upcoming primary here on the local edition, with live guests, as well as an update from Sullivan County government about how primaries are going in Sullivan County. And then on the and then tomorrow's primary day, we have local edition tomorrow where we won't be talking about the primaries. Then on Wednesday, we'll have a full report from Karen DeWitt, Albany correspondent, on how the primaries went down, as far as we can tell, on Wednesday, the day after the primary. So that's what is to come. But first, we actually have a report from Karen DeWitt leading into the primary. New York's registered Democrats and Republicans are voting in primaries tomorrow. That will determine the party's choice for governor. And while Governor Kathy Hochul is comfortably ahead of her two opponents, the results of the four-way Republican primary for governor is less clear.
Wants to be elected to a full four-year term as Hochul wants to be elected to a full four-year term as governor after replacing former governor Andrew Cuomo. He resigned last August over multiple allegations of sexual harassment. The governor, in the weeks leading up to the primary, has honed in on two issues. One is gun safety. She signed several bills into law, including one banning anyone under 21 from buying a semi-automatic rifle, and another that strengthens the state's red flag laws. And she's using her hefty campaign fund. She has millions more than her opponents to run ads highlighting the changes.
There's more to do, but if Washington won't act to keep people safe, I will.
The governor's also called a special session to address the June 23rd U.S. Supreme Court ruling that struck down the state's restrictions on carrying a concealed weapon. The second major issue is abortion. Before the U.S. Supreme Court ruling that overturned the abortion rights in Roe v. Wade, Hochul and the legislature took steps to protect the rights of people seeking abortion care services, both in New York and from those living in states where the procedure will now be banned. Hochul says those rights won't be taken away under her watch.
Not here, not now, not ever.
Recent polls show Hochul firmly in the lead, says Siena College polling spokesman Steve Greenberg.
Hochul is certainly the front runner. I mean, I think the expectation is that she will win the primary. The question is, you know, how big will the margin be?
Hochul's opponents are New York City public advocate Jumaane Williams, a progressive Democrat, and Long Island Congressman Tom Suozzi, a moderate. While Hochul is favored to win, her running mate, Lieutenant Governor Antonio Delgado, does not hold the same level of support. Voters can also choose Suozzi's running mate, Diana Reyna, or Williams' running mate, Ana Maria Archila. On the Republican side, the party's nominee, Long Island Congressman Lee Zeldin, is defending himself against three challengers in a contentious primary. It's included three debates, this one on the conservative news channel Newsmax.
No, I can't. The problem is that you can't speak the truth.
In 2011,
somebody said something that's over here, we've got to finish my point.
Zeldin, who is against abortion, says his priorities are to respect life and respect freedom, including Second Amendment rights.
Important to have a strong, principled structure and backbone, which is lacking, unfortunately, with a government thinks that they want to rule the people No, the people want to be in charge of their own government.
Andrew Giuliani, the son of Rudy Giuliani, the former New York City mayor and advisor to former President Donald Trump, is even with Zeldin in some polls. Andrew Giuliani says he's closer to Trump, who remains popular among Republicans in New York, than are the other candidates.
I'm very honored to have served the last 4 years of my time in the Trump White House, working on important issues like the Paycheck Protection Program.
And he says he'd bring that experience to state government to change Albany. Former Westchester County Executive Rob Astorino and businessman Harry Wilson are also running in the Republican primary. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
And thanks to Albany correspondent Karen DeWitt for that report, and thanks to New York State Public Radio. And again, primary day is tomorrow. That's what that report is all about, and we'll be getting a post-primary day report from Karen DeWitt that we're going to be playing right here on the Local Edition on Wednesday. This is the Local Edition. We'll be right back.
This is Radio Catskill. Listen to us on your smart speaker. Just ask your smart speaker to play WJFF Radio Catskill.
What's up, Radio Catskill? Greg McVicker here, putting you on the guest list to join us for a laid-back music party that we call Undercurrents. It's a mix of exciting new tunes with some old favorites and lots of other songs that you forgot that you knew. We go across all genres, and don't worry about it. It just all flows together. I'll bring the music, you bring your ears, and we'll do this. Undercurrents.
Monday through Thursday at noon.
This is a Local Edition, and it's a primary eve edition of the Local Edition. And primary elections for lieutenant governor and governor are happening tomorrow. Early voting has wrapped, and if you haven't voted yet, the polls open at 6 a.m. tomorrow in Sullivan County here in our listening area and across New York State. Radio Catskills' Patricio Rubio spoke to the spokesperson for Sullivan County government, Dan Hoost, on what folks in Sullivan County need to know before heading to the polls.
This primary, and it's hard to compare between primaries and general elections, so I'll just focus on this year's primary. We had 383 early voters, which sounds to me like a good number of people, even though, of course, we have several tens of thousands of registered voters in Sullivan County. But, of course, remember, this primary is only open to people who are registered as Democrats or Republicans. It's not open to conservatives or independents or people who have no political affiliation on the voter rolls.
The polls open at 6 a.m., and each town has a voting site. Dan, can you go over the places to vote in each town for so our listeners can know where to go?
Certainly. Yeah, each town has a voting site. Most of these should be familiar to people who have voted before. In the town of Bethel, it is the Duggan Community Center. That's the former elementary school on Route 55 in White Lake. In the town of Calicoon, now this is the township of Calicoon, not the hamlet of Calicoon. It's at the Youngsville Firehouse, which is right off Route 52. It's on County Route 149, which I know as Chandley Road in Youngsville. Town of Coshecton is at the town hall in Coshecton, which is on Smales Road in Lake Huntington. Town of Delaware's polling site is the Delaware Community Center, also known as the Delaware Youth Center, on Creamery Road in downtown Calicoon. That's the hamlet of Calicoon. The town of Fallsburg is at the SUNY Sullivan Fieldhouse on College Road in Loch Sheldrake. Town of Forestburg is at the Forestburg Town Hall, which is right off Route 42 on a little road called King Road in Forestburg. Town of Fremont is at the Hankins Fremont Center Firehouse, which is on Newman Hill Road. It's called Hankins, although a lot of us would consider that more the Fremont Center area, but your GPS, if you put it in that way, would refer to it as Hankins. Town of Highland is at the Highland Town Hall. That's on Proctor Road, right off Route 55 in Eldred. Town of Liberty is the Liberty Firehouse. That's the big main firehouse on Sprague Avenue, sort of in the northern areas of the Village of Liberty. Town of Lumberland is the Lumberland Town Hall. That's on Proctor Road in Glen Spey. Town of Mammocating is the Mammocating Town Hall, which is right on Route 209 next to the State Police Barracks in Wurtsboro. Town of Neversink is the Neversink Town Hall on Main Street, which is also Route 55 in Grahamsville. Town of Rockland is at the Livingston Manor Firehouse on Main Street in Livingston Manor. town of Thompson is right here at the Sullivan County Government Center, 100 North Street in Monticello. And town of Tustin is at the Tustin Town Hall, which is on Bridge Street. That's also Route 52 in Narrowsburg.
Well, those sites open at 6 a.m. starting tomorrow, June 28th, and close at 9 p.m. Dan, I know you mentioned some of the numbers, and it's hard to compare some of the numbers from primary and general election. But those numbers that have come in, does that sort of give you an indication that more people are taking advantage of early voting?
I think the general trend is that they are going to be increasing. The more people find out about early voting, the convenience of it, accessibility. Of course, the early voting happened only here at the Government Center in Monticello, but plenty of people pass through the Government Center. You could theoretically get more than one errand done while you were here, not only voting early, but going to the DMV or visiting the county clerk's office or the veterans office or the office for the aging. So there's some convenience there. It's not as convenient necessarily as a polling place right down the street from you, but that would be open just on the actual election day itself. Whereas this, there was nearly 2 weeks of day after day that you could stop by, including Saturdays and Sundays. The hours were a little different each day, but we had people here. Now, this is a really heavy lift for our Board of Elections, and I just want to give kudos to them for the work that they did in preparing for this and then actually staffing this. It's very hard these days to get people who can commit to giving the time that's necessary to be an elections inspector. But those folks are here just for the elections. Our Board of Elections, they work year-round to prepare for this, and now there's going to be early voting for every upcoming election. We have another election coming up, another primary, on August 23rd, and there's going to be early voting, 10 days of early voting for that. And then, of course, we will have the November general elections. There'll also be early voting for that. That requires a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of money to put together. So my hope is that more people utilize it, because every person who comes out, who comes to these early voting locations, is someone these election inspectors are really happy to see. They don't want to sit around with nothing to do. They want people to come and cast their vote and take advantage of this special opportunity.
Yeah, this year is a very busy year for the Board of Elections. Not only do we have a primary coming up tomorrow, June 28th, but you also have another primary happening in August. And then you have the general election happening in November. Dan Hoost, before we go, is there anything you want our listeners to know about before they head over to the polls?
Certainly. If people have any questions whatsoever about what they're voting on, why, where they're going, who's on the ballot, we have all that information on the county website. That's sullivanny.us, sullivanny.us. They can go to find a department right at the top of the page, and then they can just click on elections, the Board of Elections. That will take them to the main Board of Elections page, and there's a whole bunch of information from the overall political calendar to early voting dates and locations, not just for this that have already passed, but for the upcoming August primary and even for November. There's links to the state website about it as well, so that you can get all sorts of information that you need. Probably what I think most people find valuable is the sample ballots that are available right on the website, where you can see what that ballot's going to look like when you go to vote. And listen, in the end, if that doesn't answer your questions, our Board of Election staff stand ready to help in any way that they can. 845-807-0400. That's 845-807-0400. You can reach them from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. every weekday. They will be more than happy to answer whatever questions that you have.
Primary day is tomorrow, June 28th. Polls open at 6 a.m. and close at 9 p.m. For that full list of voting places, check out the Sullivan County Government website. Dan, again, thank you so much for joining us. We were talking to Dan Hoost, Communications Director for the Sullivan County Government. Thank you.
Glad to do it, and I just encourage everyone to get out and vote. That makes all this work worth it.
For Radio Catskill, I'm Patricio Rubio.
And this is the local edition. Thank you so much, Patricio and Dan Hoost, for giving us that update. We're going to keep rolling right along now, continuing with our coverage on the primaries, which, again, tomorrow's primary day, as you just heard in that piece. And we're on the phone now live with Philip Pantuso, Hudson Valley managing editor for the Times Union. Times Union released a New York voting guide recently, and letting their readers know who are on the ballots and critical information for each of the candidates. A big race that affects us here in the Catskills, of course, is who's going to be the next governor. Governor Kathy Hochul wanting to run for a full term, running against Thomas Suozzi. That's a representative, Thomas Suozzi, and New York City public advocate Jumani Williams on the Republican side. It's that four-way race that we heard about from Karen DeWitt earlier, including Andrew Giuliani, Representative Lee Zeldin, former Westchester County Executive Rob Astorino, and Harry Wilson. They're facing off in their primary. Philip, many choices for folks when they go to the polls, I guess.
Yeah, many choices indeed. It's a competitive, or it's a big field. Whether or not it's going to be competitive, I guess time will tell. Mm.
Well, what's it looking like? Like, especially for that Republican race, is it close? Is it as up in the air as people are saying, or is there some indication of which way it's going to go?
The party favorite is Lee Zeldin, the former state senator, conservative from Long Island. He's like the other candidates on the Republican ticket, has run a campaign focused on public safety and lowering taxes. I think he is likely to win. The businessman Harry Wilson, who's self-funding or almost entirely self-funding his campaign, has been doing better in polls than expected. I think bringing up the rear here is probably Rob Astorino, the former Westchester County executive, just doesn't quite have the name recognition statewide, I think, and has been a little bit out of the public eye for a few years now. And then, of course, the wild card is Andrew Giuliani, who wasn't able to participate in the most recent Republican debate because he's not vaccinated. And, he's also the only one of these candidates who's never run for public office. So he's running a bit of a, what's called an esoteric campaign, but he obviously has perhaps the most name recognition of all four of these candidates because of his famous last name.
This is a side thing, but where does that term come from? The esoteric campaign? Is that vintage? Is that old from decades past? Or is that like trying to describe these new crazy times we're in?
That was trying to describe these new crazy times we're in. It was a euphemism I came up with on the spot.
Okay, good. All right. Because if that was coming from other places, I had questions, but if something made up on the spot, I can dig it.
So. Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right. So that's the Republican race. Well, what's your expectations for the Democratic governor race?
The Democratic governor race is less competitive than a lot of political watchers would have thought maybe 6 months ago. Flashback to last fall, Kathy Hochul faced the prospect of a pretty major challenge in Attorney General Tish James. But James, eventually ended her campaign, deciding to stay as the Attorney General. And the two challengers in the race now, Jumani Williams, the public advocate, and Tom Suozzi, the Long Island congressperson, are just putting up a little bit less of a fight than I think a lot of people expected. Hochul's had a pretty commanding lead in polls really throughout this year. She's way ahead of both of them in fundraising and way ahead of both of them in endorsements. And I think seems pretty comfortable to cruise to a victory. And then, we'll see who she faces in November. But my guess would be, given the overall political makeup of the state and the fact that she's more or less the incumbent here, she would have a pretty healthy chance of winning against the Republican.
Right. I mean, that's a kind of question I found myself thinking about while you're talking about the Republican slate. It's just like, well, how much of a chance do any of these folks stand against Hochul if she's the winner, or whichever Democrat's the winner? You want to say that it seems pretty clear, but of course, again, these are volatile political times.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, it's we're in the midst of a particularly volatile period just over this past week or so with the litany of Supreme Court cases that have come down, you know, a few of which affect New York directly, the gun rights case, and the overturning of Roe v. Wade is going to end up affecting New York indirectly, I think, as the country fractures into places that offer abortions and the full slate of reproductive health care in states with domes.
You know, along those lines, you know, Governor Hochul has been very vocal and active about preparing New York for these rulings even before they came down. At the same time, she's also been very active in advertising for it. She's got this big war chest, as we heard in that report from Karen DeWitt, got a lot of money. I've been seeing television ads almost as soon as these issues hit the airwaves. She's out with an ad campaigning on that issue, which she's in a campaign. She's got a campaign on it. But I'm just wondering, how has that tactic been playing, if you've had any way to gauge that from anyone?
It's hard to say right now. I mean, you know, overall, her favorability is pretty solid. You know, there's been talk about calling the state legislature back in session to do something about guns. I think that would certainly play favorably with a good part of the state anyway. Certainly, that's helping her in the Democratic primary, I think. But yeah, ultimately, I think voters, or we'll know tomorrow when voters cast their final ballots.
And part of the ballot too is, and part of what Governor Hochul's trying to do is she's chosen former Congressman Antonio Delgado to be the lieutenant governor, and he is right now. But now he's running in a primary. How does that race look?
This race is a little bit spicier, I think, in part because of there's a pretty big push from the progressive from progressives in the state and really nationally behind the challenger to Delgado's left, Ana Maria Archila. She's the sort of running mate of Jumaane Williams. She is a community organizer in Brooklyn and is running on the Working Families Party line, and was recently endorsed by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, which at least gets you a lot of headlines and a lot of recognition, which in a race that normally most people voting might not know, you know, who all the candidates are, that kind of name recognition and that visibility, I think could help her. And, you know, similarly or conversely, Delgado doesn't have even the limited benefit of incumbency that Hochul has, given that he's only been in the office about a month. And I think, you know, Delgado, your listeners will know this, is widely popular in his district, but he's only been in Congress for a few years. Wasn't somebody, I think, who was on the radar of a lot of even politically plugged in people, before his run for Congress. So I think that the lieutenant governor race is going to be a little bit more interesting. There's a third candidate we should mention as well. The former New York City Council member Diana Reyna, who's the running mate of Swazi, they're running on a pretty moderate platform of trying to, you know, deal with crime. Swazi has this 15-point crime prevention and intervention plan, and you know, a lot of his policies, a lot of his votes in Congress have been to the right of the Democratic Party here in New York. So I don't think that's going to help his running mate, Diana Reyna, in this election at all.
Is there any kind of polling or any kind of feedback that indicates where that three-way race is, or even out of those two, Archila and Reyna, who is giving Delgado the most challenge right now?
I haven't seen what the latest poll is actually. I believe there was one Yeah, I haven't seen the latest polls for lieutenant governor. I mean, Archila certainly riding a wave of media coverage in the last week or two. She got a big New York Times profile last week. You know, that's been followed by a slate of other press.
Yeah.
Both in the state and national media.
And I think it's interesting, like, because I've heard about these candidates, but I never thought of Archila and Reyna as the running mate of the other the gubernatorial candidates, because we have this interesting thing in New York State where the bill can be split. I mean, that voters really are going to vote for two, you know, a lieutenant governor and a governor. It's not like president and vice president. It's not a single ticket on the ballot line. It's going to be two different people. And I mean, in New York, we know Governor Hochul, lieutenant governor. I would describe her as a moderate Democrat. She comes from Western New York. She comes from upstate. She's able to relate to both sides. That's been her thing, kind of. And I could see New Yorkers looking at this saying, like, well, let's stick with the moderate Democrat governor that we know, but we need somebody who's more progressive in there. And rather than having that moderate Democrat's pick for lieutenant governor, let's go with a more progressive candidate. I could see voters, Democratic voters in majority Democratic state, leaning towards that and enticed by the idea of splitting the bill.
I wouldn't be surprised if something like that happened, especially because, in addition to the reasons you mentioned, I think Archila is just a more, this seems to be a more compelling, I don't mean that subjectively, I guess, but she seems to just be garnering more attention as a progressive candidate than Jumaane Williams, which again kind of surprised me because he seems broadly popular as well, but just doesn't seem to have quite the base of support that she has. And I think another thing working in Archila's favor, perhaps, is that she, to the extent that people know her at all, it's for this kind of viral moment back in 2018 during the confirmation hearings for the Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh. As you may recall, there was kind of open question whether 50 votes, he would get the 50 votes needed to be confirmed. And the kind of one of the last holdouts, the then Republican Senator of Arizona, Jeff Flake, confirmed that he would vote for Kavanaugh, and then after leaving the Senate floor, was confronted in an elevator by a couple of women who were survivors of sexual assault, who were basically pleading with him not to do it. One of those women was Anna Maria Archila. Wow. And she's been, you know, one of the main issues that she's organized around, really going back before that, but certainly since then, has been ensuring access to reproductive health care. So,
right. And
so obviously that's in the news right now.
This political moment may work in her favor in that sense, because that's not just an ancillary thing. If that happens to be a viral moment that people might recall, that speaks very much to how people are feeling right now, reacting to the news even just this week. So she's getting more media attention, but it also seems like she's having the right tone for the moment, at least as far as more progressive voters would be concerned.
Right. And I think, you know, that was on evidence in the lieutenant governor debate a couple of weeks ago, too.
All right. Well, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. Is there anything else you want folks to know before we get going?
We will, at the Times Union, be running a live blog, starting shortly before polls close tomorrow, covering all of the updates in these races, especially, but also in the state assembly primaries, which are tomorrow. The Senate, obviously, the state Senate primaries are later in the year. I'm sure you guys have talked about that.
Yes.
But yeah, you can tune into that live blog. It'll be very prominent on timesunion.com. And just follow all of the updates as they roll in.
All right. Well, thank you. I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us, Philip Pantuso, who's the Hudson Valley Managing Editor for the Times Union. Thanks for catching us up ahead of primary day.
You got it. Take care.
Okay, that's going to do it for the local edition news and information. It keeps you connected in the Catskills in Northeast Pennsylvania. I've been your host, Jason Dole. I'll be back tomorrow to do it again. Hey, make sure you never miss any edition of the local edition. Sign up for our podcast wherever you get your podcasts from. Radio Catskill, local edition. Up next is Lavos and Breve. This is WJFF Jeffersonville, W233 AH, Montessori.